The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Ma'mun al-Rashid was one of the Abbasid Khulafa. He was somebody who, just like his forefathers, they were not people of God. They were people of the dunya. They were pleasure seekers. They were very keen on living the life. They were very keen on having power over others. So why would the Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida, in a way associate himself? Why would he agree to become the Waliul Ahd? And if we understand some points about this, we can understand more about the Imam's life, inshallah. But I want to first introduce this concept, which is known as soft power versus hard power. I think you probably have heard this term before. Sometimes it's used as like soft war, or you could say hard war. What is the difference between these? Hard power is when you force somebody to do something. You know, imagine that, you know, like you have a donkey, so you put a carrot in front of it. And you say that, okay, you have to walk and you have to go to a certain place. And if it doesn't go where you want to, then you take a stick and you beat the donkey. That's an exercise of hard power. Soft power is different. Soft power is where you want to use someone for your purposes. So by attacking them and beating them and doing things, you know, in an open way, then they're not going to go the way that you want. You want to use them, but for your purposes. So what do you use? You use subtlety. You use different ways of, you know, kind of tricking them and getting them to do what you want to do. Okay, this is something that we should all be familiar with. Why? Because we have an enemy who is the shaitan. And you know that shaitan rarely uses hard power tactics in order to come and trick us. Right? How often have you had shaitan come and threaten you, you know, with like, you know, a vision of the hellfire? Right? It doesn't happen typically to most people. In fact, shaitan rarely even appears to most people in his original form. But what does he use? What techniques does shaitan use? It's a very interesting topic to study and to learn about. And after all, it's something that is one of the most important things to learn about. That what techniques does the enemy use in order to swerve us away from being righteous and being good believers? In the Quran, Allah describes the shaitan, for example, as using false promises. The shaitan will present things which are evil and make them look as if they're good and inviting and attractive. The shaitan will distract somebody from their purpose. And when they're distracted, then he will get them to swerve away from what they're and forget about what their whole purpose was all about. Now, Ma'mun al-Rashid, who was the Khalifa during the last 5 years of the Imam's life, he was somebody who was very skilled in the dark arts of the shaitan. And he was in a position where he had to gain power over the people, and he saw that the only way he could do that was by making Imam Ridha alayhi salam somewhat of an ally, making Imam Ridha somehow join him. But how could he do it in a way where Imam Ridha wouldn't become the Imam? He still wanted to hold power. He wanted to use the Imam. He wanted to make sure that, you know, the Shias and those who were supporting the Imam, that they wouldn't attack him, because he knew that his government was weak. So what does he use? He uses soft power techniques. He needs the Imam, but he wants to use him and sort of try to almost trick him and trick his followers and trick the people in general. Now the Imam alayhi salam, of course, is ma'asum. We heard it in this hadith of the Prophet, where the Prophet says in the dream of Imam's father, he says that your son يُصِيبُ وَلَا يُخْطِئُ. Your son will always do isabatul haq. He will always arrive at the truth. He won't make an error. The Imam was gifted with nurullah, insight. He wasn't fooled with politics and with games. So, Ma'mun al-Rashid, when he comes to the Imam and he says that, you know, he sends a message. Okay, I want you to be the Khalifa. That's the approach that he takes. Now, why don't you come and you be the Khalifa? Now, what is the response of the Imam? It's very interesting. The Imam alayhi salam tells him that, well, Ma'mun, if being a Khalifa is something that is appointed by Allah, and you are the Khalifa right now, then it's not your right to take that position and to gift it to somebody else, because after all, it's something from Allah. And if it's not from Allah, then what right do you have to go and give it to somebody else? You see, what is he doing here? He's not telling Ma'mun directly everything that he knows about him, and he's not revealing to him everything that he knows about his agenda. But indirectly, he's telling Ma'mun al-Rashid that you know and I know that truly leadership in the Ummah is not something which is determined by the people. It's not for somebody to stand and say that, okay, because I have the power, I inherited it from my father and from my brother, and I won the politics and I won out the political game, therefore I have a right to exercise power. That's not the way things work. It's something from Allah. And the Imam alayhi salam is telling him that, I know this game that you're playing right here. Later, the Imam alayhi salam accepts to be the Waliul Ahad, the one who's sort of next in line. Now, Ma'mun is never successful in tricking the Imam. The Imam is very aware. But what about the Shias? When they see that the Imam alayhi salam is aligning himself supposedly, and he's joining the government of the enemy, what are they supposed to say? What are they supposed to do? This is where the Shias were tested. They were tested to see that when your fundamental, one of your core beliefs about the Imam is that he is ma'asum, he will not make an error. When you see him doing something which brings a question to your mind, what are you going to do? Are you going to be somebody who breaks off from the Imam? Or are you going to have firm faith that what the Imam does is correct? And are you going to seek clarification? One of the amazing things we see in history, brothers and sisters, is that those people who accepted the Imamah of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, they stayed with Imam Ridha alayhi salam until he became a shaheed. And they stayed with his son. And they stayed with his son, and finally all the way to the Imam of the time. We don't find groups splitting away from Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Imam Ridha, those who were with him, they stuck with him till the end. This is one of the amazing miracles of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. And it had to do with the strategy that he took. The Shia at his time, they were tested, but they passed the test. One of the really interesting examples we have of this is where Abu Salat, one of the companions of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, he goes to him and he says that, Imam, people are talking. Now that you've accepted this position, they're saying that before we thought that the Imam alayhi salam was zahid from the dunya. We thought that he was staying away from it. He had no interest in it. But now we're realizing that maybe it was the case, or we're thinking that maybe it's the case that no, that was just by chance that the dunya stayed away from him. But now he's thinking, na'udhu billah, then maybe the dunya is coming to him. What response can we give them? So what does the Imam do? He lays it out for them. He says that, Abu Salt, you should know that I was in a position where I had a choice between two things. One of them was to be killed. The other one was to accept this position and to see what I can do with it. How can I use this position for good? And I took as an example, and there's an example in the Quran for you which you can refer to, which is the example of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. Because Nabi Yusuf And then the Imam Islam quotes from them in the Quran. Then Abu Yusuf was in a position where he told the leader at the time, the leader of Egypt, he says that, make me be the one who is in charge of the treasuries of the earth. I want to be in charge. Because I am somebody who is knowledgeable and I am somebody who is capable. So you see, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was part of a government of shirk. But he made use of that position to spread the word of Allah. And that was my position as well too. I had to choose between the lesser of two evils. And it's because of that, it's not something out of my own choice that here I am, na'udhu billah, trying to profit from the dunya, that I've changed my stance or anything like that. So the Shias, with these types of guidance from the Imam, they remain firm in their position. They knew that the Imam alayhi salam was doing what he did and he was there for a purpose.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.